in the Rosenfeld, page 415 in the Koran, and page 248. And this Kinar, Zahal Vanon, represents a significant shift now in the Kinot. All the Kinot that we've seen till now have been very much focused on the Churban HaBayit, the destruction of Yerushalayim, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and we're now shifting to realizing that Tisha B'Av is not just about commemorating the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but it's a day when we commemorate all the destructions of or all the tragedies that have befallen Jewish people throughout the course of history. Of course, Arzei HaLevanon, which is about the 10 martyrs, is very much linked in with the Churban HaBayit, but it's got other themes as well. It's linked in with the Churban HaBayit because these were the 10 rabbinic leaders of Am Yisrael who were martyred after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, but still Jewish people were allowed to learn and study and teach Torah. Then, subsequently, the Romans realized that the Jewish people were still alive. They thought, Rav Soloveitchik explained in his discourses on Kinot, he explained that the Romans thought, get rid of the Beit HaMikdash, and you'll very quickly get rid of the Jewish people. Jewish people without a Beit HaMikdash is nothing. We can see 2,000 years later that, of course, it's not true. Jewish people without a Beit HaMikdash is like a crown without its jewels, but the crown is still there. The people still exist. And the reason why we still exist is because of the Torah. What the Romans wanted to do was they wanted to eradicate Torah, and therefore these events, it's presented usually in the Kinah as something that's happened all on one day. It's not quite like that. It was spread over two or three generations. But in the two or three generations following the Churban HaBayit, what the Romans tried to do was to, now they'd eradicated the Beit HaMikdash, they now wanted to eradicate Torah as well. So over the course of the past couple of years, we've looked at various different of the Asara Haruge Malchut, the 10 rabbis who were martyred. We've looked at Rabbi Hananya ben Tarajon, and we've looked at Rabbi Chutzpit HaMeturgeman, and others. So today I want us to look at the first one to be killed, who was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So if you look at I've given you some historical information about him. There were several Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So this is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel the first. If you look at his family tree, he had wonderful yichus. So this wasn't just somebody being killed, but this is Jewish royalty, as it were. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was a great grandson of Hillel. They say through his mother's side he was actually able to trace himself back to David HaMelech. So this really was royalty, not just in terms of his bloodline, but also in terms of his Torah line. So he was a great grandson of Hillel HaZaken. He was the son of Rabban Gamliel and the father of Rabban Gamliel, and the grandfather of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, his namesake, and he was the father-in-law of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus. So, this wasn't just, I don't know if there's any such thing as just somebody being killed. I think we regard every martyr as being somebody significant, but he was somebody particularly significant. So let's look at, on page 11, we've got some pictures there of his burial place in the north of Israel. Kfar Achna, I think, is what it's called, and you can see it there in the north, which is of course where they all lived, where the Tanaim lived at this time in the north of Eretz Israel. Let's look at three accounts of his death. I want us first to look carefully at the account in the Kinah, and then to look at the account in Avot de Rabbi Natan, and also in the Midrash Eila Ezkara. So what does the account in the Kinah that we're going to read say? Yadu goral mi rishon lacherev berura. So they cast a lot to decide who was going to be chosen to be killed by the sword first. Kinfol goral on Rabban Shimon, and when the lot fell on Rabban Shimon, Pashat Savara uvachak nigzerag zera. He stuck out his neck and he cried that about what was going to happen. The Rabban Shimon chazar hasar lahargo, and then the officer came to kill Rabban Shimon. Benefesh Nutsura, translated here as with crafty design. Mizera Aharon Sha'al Bavakasha Livkot al Ben Hagvira. And then the descendant of Aaron. The descendant of Aaron was Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, who was the second one to be killed. When Rabban Shimon Gamliel was killed, so Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, cried over this. Natal Rosho Natano al Arkubotav. And this is fascinating. He took the head of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the severed head, put it on his knees and cried over it, Menorah HaTohora, and called to Rabban Shimon Gamliel the Menorah HaTohora, the pure menorah. Menorah, of course, was the sign of Pilpul HaTorah. It's, the Aaron was the sign of Torah. But the menorah was Pilpul HaShel Torah, the ability to delve into the details of Torah. And that is what Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was calling Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. And this is, of course, fascinating because Rabbi Elazar Kohen Gadol was a Kohen. How could he take the severed head of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and put it on his knees? I don't know the answer to it. I sort of looked around a bit and one or two people flag this up as being most strange, but it's unclear why he was able to do this. Maybe he wasn't able to do this. Maybe he was just in such terrorized bereavement that that's just what he did intuitively, impetuously, and didn't realize what had happened. The other possibility may be, from a halakhic perspective, I don't know if this is correct, but it could be, that if already they were in the same place when Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel was killed, then there would have been Tumat Ohel, so already Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol would have been Tame with Tumat Mate, and maybe he followed the view that once he was already Tame with Tumat Mate, then if he extended that wouldn't matter. Generally, though, we say that a Kohen, you know, if he's in an Ohel with a mate, has to run out as quickly as possible, not even getting dressed. So it's very strange how he did this. Most likely, it's just that he was so traumatized by what had happened that this is what he instinctively did. He placed his eyes on the eyes of the dead Rabban Shimon Gamliel, piv al piv, and put his mouth on his mouth. Anav Amari answered and said out loud, Per Hamit Gaber B'Torah. This was the mouth that once spoke Torah, and now look at what has happened to it. And then straight after that, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol himself was put to death. So that's the fairly brief account that we have in Eila Eskara. Interestingly, in the Gemara, there's no account of his death. But let's look at Avot Rabbi Natan. Avot Rabbi Natan, one of the post-Talmudic minor tractates, is linked some way with Masechet Avot, and quotes the line from Masechet Avot, Cherf Bal Olam Alinui Hadin V'Alivut Hadin, V'mipnei HaMorim B'Torah She'lo Kalacha, says, or paraphrases, and says, why does the sword come and attack people? Al inui hadin, because we've delayed justice. Al ivut hadin, and justice is perverted. Because of people who teach Torah not in the right way. So it's very interesting this is used as the opening statement, because is this going to be saying something? Is this casting censure on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? If it is, it's very, very significant. Let's see. So when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael were captured to be killed, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was sitting there and he couldn't understand what was going on. We're about to be executed as if we were common criminals. You know, how are people executed? They're executed for being mechallel Shabbat. They're executed for practicing idolatry. They're executed for gilui arayot. They're executed for bloodshed. We haven't done any of these things. Why are we being executed in this same way? Amalo Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said to him, Rutzoncha she'omer lefanecha davar echad. Would you like me to tell you a bit of truth? Amar le emor. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to him, yeah, you know, tell me. Amar le. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said to him, Shemak shaita may safe bisu'uda. Perhaps once upon a time when you were sitting at a meal, ba'wanim va'amdu al pitachacha, perhaps poor people came to your door, v'lohinach tam she'ichnesu v'yochlo, and you didn't allow them to come in and eat with you. I assume the implication is maybe you just gave them some money, gave them some vouchers, and sent them away instead of inviting them in to sit with you. Amarlo. So he said to him, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to him, Hashamayim, by heaven, imasiti kein. I certainly never did this. El Hashomrim Hayulo Shahayuli Yosvina Petach. I had gatekeepers at the door. I had a doorman. Shayuani Imbaim Hayumach Nisinotanetzli, Vaoklin Shotinetzli, Mavarchin Shem Shamayim. I did like Avraham Avinu did. I brought them in, I gave them food, I gave them the opportunity to say Birkat HaMazon, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was really good as far as this was concerned. Amar lei, so Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said to him, Shemak shayite yosef doris bahara bayit. Perhaps I can tell you what went wrong when you were darshaning the halacha on har habayit. So we see that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you know, was, you know, part of the Sanhedrin, and we see this from the biographical information we've got at the beginning. Perhaps when everybody was sitting in front of you, you were a bit arrogant, a bit proud of yourself. Amarlo, Yishmael achi muchan adam shekabel et pga'o. He said, Yishmael, my brother. So I'm not sure if this is supposed to be read rhetorically or not. Maybe I need to be ready to accept my deficiency, and maybe this is true. Maybe this is why I'm going to the source. So this is, of course, an interesting episode for lots of reasons. You know, who would have thought that you know, a person is being taken out to be executed? He's saying, "What have I done to deserve this?" And somebody comes up to him and says to him, well, I've got a few suggestions I could make. Perhaps it was this. And when he says, no, it wasn't this, okay, well, that's good. We can cross that one off the list. But maybe it was that one. And he goes through the things that he might have done wrong. You know, usually I think when a person is facing that sort of situation, the response that we would give is, you know, don't worry, you're a good person. This is a terrible travesty. Instead, he's presumably trying to help him do teshuva. And it wasn't as if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to him, you know, be quiet, leave me alone, I wasn't asking you. He didn't get annoyed with him. He said, no, I didn't do this. And then with the next time when something else was suggested, he said, Taki, you might be right. Maybe this is what I did. And, you know, it's just sort of interesting the self-honesty that these sages had, that they were willing to face the sword and to face the reality of why they would be being taken to the sword. And it was suggested, you know, to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that why was he dying? He was dying because Zachadat Chalecha. He was too arrogant when he was teaching Torah. Of course, this is a cautionary tale to all of us who teach Torah. I know from my own experience, unfortunately, you know, it's very easy to be excited and to think that you're good and that everybody wants to listen to you and that you're the bee's knees. And we see from this how dangerous that is.
So
they were begging the executioner. So Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol was saying, listen, you know, I'm a Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol. You should let me be killed first so that I don't have to see my colleague be put to death. The Zeh Amar Lo, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, no, Ani Nasi Ben Nasi, I'm a Nasi, the son of the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin. My father was head of the Sanhedrin. Horgeini Tchila, kill me first. And don't let me see the death of my colleague. Amar Lahem Hapilu Goralot. So the executioner said, you know what? Cast lots. Which, of course, in Eila Ezkara, we've seen, you know, happened already. They cast Neila Ezkara, the lots were cast by the Roman authorities. Here, the lots are being cast by the martyrs themselves. So I don't know what the significance is of lots in this, but it, you know, might be worth considering, you know, is there a theme here, the significance of the casting of lots? So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Immediately the executioner took the sword and severed his head. So Rabbi, here it's Rabbi Elisha who took it. It wasn't Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. This seems to be somebody else. Rabbi Elisha took it, which of course saves our problem. I think saves our problem of Kohen taking it, unless Rabbi Elisha was also identified as a Kohen. That was Rabbi Yishmael Ben Elisha. But I don't know if that's Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. So I don't know if it's the same person. Said Per Kadosh Penerman Shemotzi Sand Polonin Tovot Vavanim Tovot Margaliot. You know, you always, you know, the gems. You were speaking gems to us. Mihim Itchaba Afar Mimnei Lishomcha Afar VeEfer. Who has cast you down to the dust? Alecha kaduv omer cherev uri al rei v'al gever amiti, and applied the pasuk to him from Zechariah, how he's being killed. So that's the avot to Rabbi Natan. Midrash Eila Ezkara has it a little bit differently and says the first part is the same. Nataloach hakachet Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol bein reichav. Now back to it being Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol taking the head of Sarach alav b'mar nefesh v'amar ei Torah ve'ischara. So this is a different lament, but it's a lament that we find with we'll see in the Kinah. We'll see in a moment. We'll see that is expressed by somebody else. Where is, you know, woe for the Torah? What rewards is this for teaching Torah? Halashon shaitam v'aret haTorah b'shivim l'shonot eichata lochechet et haafar. The tongue that was once would explain Torah in 70 different languages or 70 different ways. Now it's licking the dust. And he was crying and mourning for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why is it that you, as an elder, that you're crying over your colleague? Shouldn't be crying crying over others, you should be crying about yourself because you're going to die. Amale Rabbi Shmuel, ani vochelatz me. I'm crying for myself in actual fact. Shechaveri gadol mimeni b'torah v'chochma, because my colleague was greater than me. So I never reached this. I'm crying for the fact that there was somebody greater than me in Torah. And that he got ahead of me in the line to the Yeshiva Shelmala, that's why I am crying. So we see from Avot Rabbi Natan, the Midrash Eila Ezkara, we see additional aspects and dimensions to what we've got here in the Kinah about what happened, the notion that they fought, as it were, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, as to who was going to die first. Why did they want to die first? Because they didn't want to see the tragedy of the other one being killed. And that, of course, is a very moving notion. And then also the response of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol after he saw his colleague being killed. So we're going to continue now with the Kinah of Arzei Halavanon, which is on page 125 in the Rosenfeld, 415 in the Koren, and 248